Alrighty, hey, Larry, check this out. Hopefully this guy's got a different technique than you, but there was a tough old cowboy. And it wasn't just any old cowboy, Tony. This was like a really man's man cowboy, a rough old, tough old, crusty old cowboy. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, whatever, he's a cowboy. So anyway, so here he was, this old cowboy, and he tells his grandson, he says this, son, he said, if you want to live a long life, I've discovered the secret. And here's what it is. He says, every single day, you've got to sprinkle a little gunpowder on your oatmeal. Is that it, Larry? Is that what the technique is? Okay, I hope not. That's right. He says, that's all you got to do, man. Just a little bit of gunpowder every single morning on your oatmeal. Well, the grandson, respecting the wisdom of his grandfather, he decided to do this. And so the grandson did this religiously every single day of his life. And sure enough, he lived to a ripe old age of 93 himself. In fact, get this, when he died, he left behind 14 children, 28 great-grandchildren, 35 grandchildren, and a 15-foot hole in the wall of the crematorium. Oh, Larry, you don't do that, right? Because I don't want to have to deal with it. Anyway, but here's the point. How many of you guys would say that guy's life kind of had an explosive ending there? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Okay. But folks, get this. Believe it or not, that guy is not the only one who's going to have that kind of reality. Get this. People, tons of people all over the world are also headed for an explosive ending, except it's not going to be from digesting gunpowder. It's going to be from this, because they've disregarded God's message of grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And that means now they are running the risk of being left behind, and they will be catapulted into the 7-year tribulation that is coming upon this planet sooner than you think, folks. As we've been seeing, the time of tribulation is not a party. Are you kidding me? It is an outpouring of God's wrath on a wicked and rebellious planet. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, warned. He said it's going to be a time of greater horror than anything mankind has ever seen or will ever see again. And that unless God was merciful and shortened that time of calamity, the entire human race would be destroyed. But praise God, we've been seeing God's not just a God of wrath and justice. He's a God of love as well. And because He loves you and I, He's given us not just one, not just two, but tons of warning signs to let us know, wake up, it's getting near. The tribulation is coming, folks. And Christ's second coming is just around the corner. Therefore, to make sure that our lives here today do not end up with that explosive ending of being left behind, we're going to continue our series called The Final Countdown. People, come on, deal with it. We are headed for the final countdown. We've already seen the 10th sign was the Jewish people. The 9th sign was modern technology. The 8th sign was worldwide upheaval. The 7th sign was the rise of falsehood. The 6th sign, the rise of wickedness. The 5th sign, the rise of apostasy. And if you were here last time, how many different ways is God going to tell us? He said the 4th one was the rise of a one world religion. And God clearly said, Christian, you better wake up. Your redemption is drawing near. When you see a worldwide worship of the Antichrist, which is being prepared right now, as we saw, folks, through the worldwide assault on Christians. Why? Because you got to get rid of those who won't ever go on with it. And two, this trend of this welcoming of all faiths. Because if you're going to pull off a one world religion, you cannot have a hierarchy. You've got to come up with some lie saying they all basically believe the same. Is that happening today? Exactly. And God said, when you see that, people, wake up. It's a sign you really are that generation. You're living in the last days. But again, folks, I cannot drill this point home enough. That's still not all. How many signs is God going to give us before we will awaken and arise? Turn around. The third sign on the final countdown, not just the rise of a one world religion, it's the rise of a one world government. It is happening so much, we are so numb to it. We have no idea the days that we are living in. The first end time prophecy concerning a one world government is there would become not just a worldwide worship of the Antichrist, there would become a what? A worldwide authority of the Antichrist. He's literally going to control the whole world. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. If you find Revelation 13, what do you do? You guys are on the ball today. Revelation 13, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. We're going to talk about the beast, the Antichrist. Okay, that's going to come out of the peoples. Okay, he's going to be satanically inspired. Satan himself is going to give him his power. If folks don't take my word for it, there's going to be this one world government, and one guy, the Antichrist, is going to have sole control of the planet. That's exactly what John predicted would happen nearly 2,000 years ago. Let's take a look. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 7. He said, here's what I saw. I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon, already defined in chapter 12 as Satan, gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. And one of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. And because of that, the whole world, how many? The whole world was astonished and followed the beast of the Antichrist. Men worshiped the dragon, that's Satan. Because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast who said, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given what? He was given authority over who? Over every tribe, people, language, and nation, i.e. the world. Folks, is it obvious according to our text there, there is coming a day when literally it's going to happen. When all the inhabitants of the earth are going to be under the authority of who? Yes. The actual Antichrist himself. One day, folks, this world is going to be unified in some form of a one world government that is actually satanically inspired. But the question is this, again, come on. Can that really happen? I mean, John's writing this nearly 2,000 years ago. Surely this is still a future event, way off into the future. Could we really be seeing the whole world? I can see a certain area, but the whole world being deceived into creating a one world government? Is there any evidence that's taking place now? How many of you guys know the answer? Slightly. Are you kidding me, folks? Let's take a look. The first way we know that we are headed right now for a one world government is due to a universal congress. That's right, people. I'm talking about the new world order. The new world order. Now stop and think about it, folks. If you're going to deceive the people of the whole world into creating a one world government, you've got to create some sort of universal congress to dictate universal compliance, right? That's an obvious step. Well, guess what, folks? This is precisely what the United Nations and many other non-government organizations have been doing for decades with this promotion of a new world order. I invite you to check it out for yourself, every single thing I'm about to share with you. Right now, folks, there is already in place, this is not the future, there is already in place the plans for absolute, total, complete control of the whole world. And the tactics they are using to pull it off is called fear and manipulation. Fear and manipulation. Why? Because they know history, folks, and this is the history lesson. If you're going to get people to surrender their freedoms, yes, even in America, then they are more apt to surrender their freedoms in a time of fear, a time of crisis, than in a time of peace. People are more apt to surrender their freedoms in a time of fear and a time of crisis than in a time of peace. And because of that, folks, that's exactly what they're doing. They're manipulating us. Have you noticed, folks, everything in our world right now is a crisis. An absolute crisis. We don't have problems anymore. Every single thing is a crisis. And it's there to drum up fear, to manipulate you and I, to surrender our freedoms. We don't have a healthcare problem. We got a what? Healthcare crisis. We don't have a child care problem. We got a child care what? Crisis. We don't have an economic problem. We got an economic what? Right now. Crisis, okay? We got a constitutional crisis. We got a terrorist crisis. We got an environmental crisis. We don't have problems. We got a crisis. Everything's about to explode. Ah! And the whole reason why they're doing that, drumming you and I, it's not just once in a while. It's a constant state of fear. Constant. Every day. Day and day. Get you afraid, Christian. Because then they're going to do this. They're going to get you. They're manipulating us. So that we will eventually cry out. Because of all these seemingly crises, it is out of control. They're getting us to cry out for what they want us to cry out. Some sort of universal government to fix all these problems, right? But you might be asking, hey, that's a neat premise, Pastor Billy. But come on, does this fear tactic really work on people? Are people, yes, even in America, surrendering their freedoms even out of fear? Kidding me, folks? Of course it is. Wake up. That is why right now there is, right now, a universal law of the land. It's called the Earth Charter. It's totally blasphemous. It is a blasphemy of the Ten Commandments of a holy, righteous God. It's called the Earth Charter. It's a new universal law that they put out to unite all the peoples of the world in order to save the earth. Check it out. But wait a second. If you're going to have a universal law of the land, then you need some sort of universal governing body to oversee this law, right? Well, folks, check it out for yourself. Right now, there is a constitution for Federation Earth. with full plans for a world government, get this, world Supreme Court, world capitals, and yes, a world police. And the only thing that's holding it up is ratification, and they're hoping it will take place real soon. But wait a second, if you're following the train of thought there, if you're going to have a universal governing body, then you got to have some sort of universal judicial system to make sure that people obey this governmental body, right? Well, folks, right now, that's why there is the World Criminal Court. Check it out, the International Criminal Court. It can, and it does, and it has brought charges and brings charges against any person in any country on the whole earth. There is no national sovereignty. That court rules the world. But wait a second. If you're going to have a universal judicial system, then you need some sort of universal army to punish those who don't obey this world government, right? Well, folks, why do you think that right now, Tony Blair, amongst many others, the former Prime Minister of England, and many others, have been calling for NATO to be, quote, the military arm of a new world order? There's your global army. Throw in the UN, you got it. But you might say, hey, come on, Pastor Bill, hey, wait, I tell you what. Somebody did this again. Russ, were you in Pastor Billy's neighborhood again? Did you do one of those drive-by chicken leg things? You threw the chicken leg on his front porch. The fumes got all over him. He's all worked up now. Thanks a lot, Russ. Come on, man. This is just that stuff, that weird, wacky conspiracy stuff, man. There's no way that the leaders of the world are actually serious about this one world government thing. Are you kidding me? Well, folks, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to their words themselves. Here's the quotes, folks. You tell me if somebody's a little bit serious about creating a one-world government all over the place. Henry Kissinger said, today America would be outraged if UN troops entered L.A. to restore order. But tomorrow they would be grateful. When presented with this scenario, it sounds like it's a plan in place. Individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by who? The world government. David Rockefeller says, we are so grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, and Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promise of discretion for almost 40 years. Quote, translation, they kept their mouths shut on purpose. He said it would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. Strobe Talbot, he's Clinton's Deputy Secretary of State, said this, in the next century, that's now, people, nations as we know will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. National sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all. It's called treason. That's just the iceberg, folks. Richard Falk said, the existing order is breaking down at a rapid rate, and the main uncertainty is whether mankind can exert a positive role in shaping a new world order. We believe a new order will be born no later than early in the next century. That's called right now, folks. Mikhail Gorbachev said, further global progress is now possible only through the quest for a universal consensus in the movement towards a new world order. Nelson Mandela said, the new world order that is in the making must focus on the creation of a world democracy, peace and prosperity for all. George McGovern said, I would support a presidential candidate who pledged to take the following steps. At the end of the war in the Persian Gulf, press for a comprehensive Middle East settlement on for a new world order based not on Pax Americana, the peace of America. No, no. He says, but on the peace through law with a stronger UN and world court. George Bush Sr. said this, if we do not follow the dictates of our inner moral compass and stand up for human life, then this lawlessness will threaten the peace and democracy. Listen to this. Of the emerging new world order we now see. This what? This long dreamed of vision we've all worked toward for so long. Now wait a second, folks. Did he really just say that? Hey, folks, watch it for yourself.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Let's that's exciting. But that's still just tip the iceberg. How about Madeleine Albright? She said, today I say that no nation in the world need be left out of the what? The global system we are constructing. Mikhail Gorbachev again stepped in. Boy, you create a crisis, you can manage it. The victims of the September 11 attacks will not have died in vain if what? If world leaders use the crisis to create a what? A new world order. And Robert Mueller, the former assistant attorney of the UN, you don't think it's coming from there. Here's what he said, direct quote, listen to this. It's almost like he's following a script. He said we must move as quickly as possible to a one world government, a one world religion under a one world leader. Can anybody say Antichrist? That's who that leader's going to be. Folks, I'm not making this up. Please, I invite you, check out. But the point is this, it sure looks to me. This isn't some wacky conspiracy thing. These people are deadly serious about forming a one world government that the Bible said would happen. When you are living in the last days, wake up! It's happening now! But that's still all. Get this. The second way we know we are right now, folks, headed for this one world government, this new world order, is due to a universal big brother! A universal big brother. That's what I'm talking about. Not just a new world order. You need also step two. You need a new world surveillance. You see, folks, stop and think about it. If you're going to deceive this whole wicked world system into developing a new world order, a universal congress, a one world government, then you've got to have some sort of universal monitoring system so you can dictate universal behavior, right? Stop and think about that. Step two. And again, folks, you got to wake up. This is precisely what the United Nations and many other groups have been doing for decades. And thanks to recent executive orders, our own government now has full authority to use surveillance technology, not on somebody in Russia, but somebody here in America. You don't believe me? Folks, let's take a look at just a handful. This is just a pittance of what is available out there to keep an eye, yes, on you and I. Looking for the new terrorists. Let's take a look at the technology. There's now an aerosol spray that makes unopened envelopes transparent so the contents can be read. It leaves no smudging or stains. Very handy. The FBI has recently been granted permission for a new program called Digital Storm, which foresees the quadrupling of phone tapping over the next decade. Yes, in America. Hidden microphones are being put on utility poles and rooftops in LA to monitor strange noises, of course. If you don't believe me, tonight you need to come to the Book of Revelation study because I'm going to show you the actual video. They're doing it with cameras on corners in Florida, watching neighborhoods. You'll see it with your own eyes if you come. Every square foot of farmland in Australia is now being watched via satellite to monitor, of course, food production and crop yields. But they wouldn't do that here, would they? Folks, they're doing something worse than that. Listen to this. Here in America right now, satellites are already being used by state governments to search for unreported improvements that might, of course, increase property taxes and to check for water use permits and to find improper tree cutting. There is already, folks, the eye in the sky. Okay? There's currently radar guns right now being used with radio waves that can peer through concrete walls and satellites with the same capability. They're on the way. I would actually say they're already here. Government officials can now aim an antenna at your computer monitor, and from the radiation emitted by the monitor, they can reconstruct your images on your screen. And you would never even know. Hey, tiny surveillance devices, and again, you come tonight, I'll expose it. You'll see it with your own eyes. Tiny surveillance devices have been developed called smart dust. Get this, folks. They are so small, they can float in the air like dust and are suspended by air currents while they are sensing and communicating and watching for hours. In fact, folks, pretty soon, this is the reality that they're building for you and I. Let's watch.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number is 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout submarine combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife, Betty, subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards.
It's kind of a nervous laughter, isn't it? Folks, that would be hilarious if I didn't know what I know. That's the tip of the iceberg of the nightmare that is being arranged for you and I right now. But folks, I'm telling you, it appears to me that somebody really is working really hard at keeping an eye on things. In fact, it's getting so commonplace, folks. A recent U.S. Today article had this to say about the explosion of so many surveillance cameras. Yes, even in America. U.S. Today said this, whether as motorists or pedestrians, as visitors to convenience stores, to banks, ATMs, or even the post office, as shoppers with credit cards or telephone users, even giftists at leisure in parks, playgrounds, and golf courses, we are constantly in America under the candid camera. Full-time surveillance is a reality of modern-day life now. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, folks. It ain't just America. I'm telling you, it is all over the world. They're building a global surveillance to keep tabs on you and I. Right now, folks, there's 4 million surveillance cameras in England, in the government and the private sector. And it's common knowledge to the British people. In fact, it's so commonplace, one person said this. You want to live in England? Here's your reality. They said, so dense is the network of surveillance cameras in many urban areas that people in England may be monitored, get this, from the moment they step out their front door and be kept under observation on their way to work, in the office, and even in a restaurant. It's gotten so bad over the course of a day, one person in England could be filmed by 300 different cameras a day. And the latest figure shows is that in cities, people are being captured on film unbeknownst to them at least how many different times? It says they are being leased every 5 minutes you're being captured. But that's still on, folks. Japan is getting in the act too. It's gotten so bad they not only have their own, get this, their own cameras monitoring every single thing just like England, just like America. They've actually installed intercoms on their cameras, so I kid you not, and I just saw it this week, England's doing it too. They've got intercoms on their cameras, so they're not just watching you. They will tell you, stop it. George Orwell, eat your heart out. Folks, do we have any idea the days we are living in? But that's just the tip of the iceberg. It gets even better. Right now, folks, I'll even spell it for you, because I dare you to check it out. It's called Echelon. E-C-H-E-L-O-N. Let's say that. Hey, praise God. We know who's in the spelling. Right now, folks, there is a global project called Echelon between the United States. It's been in existence for a while now. Between the United States, England, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. Get this. And under the guise of national security and, of course, terrorist threats, satellite technology is being used right now, folks, to monitor. There's 9 acres of computers to monitor every single phone call. Every single fax, data transfers, radio transmission, and every single email. Right now. And here's what they do. Of course, under national security. They look for keywords like terrorize or bomb. And upon discovery, if that's been recorded, get this, a hard copy as well as a recording of the conversation is actually sent to somebody's desk to be analyzed. And you might be thinking, well, there you go again, Pastor Billy. Apparently, Russ got the word out on the deacons, and Russ not only, but Steve, he threw like three chicken legs on your doorstep. You're just really going nuts now. There's no stinking way, folks, that even here in America, they're monitoring every single thing, even down to every single email. Don't take my word for it, folks. Listen to Mike Frost. He worked there for 19 years. He warns us with this. He said communications knows no borders. He says somebody will pick it up somewhere and it will be end up on somebody's desk. He says, I guarantee it. He gives us an example. Listen to this. How easy you and I can become a terrorist. He said a case in point is a lady. On the phone, she was talking to her friend about a school play that her son was in the night before. Did she have any idea this was going on? He said she thought that her son apparently had done a lousy job, and so she just said casually to her friend, boy, he really bombed last night. He said that conversation was highlighted. It ended up on an analyst's desk the next morning because the word bomb was in there. He said, and now the conversation of that lady is being held indefinitely. However, if 2 or 3 or 4 years later, she talks about somebody else bombing or something like that, and the computer spits it out again, get this, he says she can graduate from being a possible terrorist to a probable terrorist. He says it's that easy. He said, and if they say that you are a probable terrorist and pass this on to those who are responsible for that sort of activity, he said, get this, things could begin to happen to your life and you never know why. He said, all of a sudden your MasterCard doesn't work anymore. All of a sudden your phone is down. All of a sudden things are falling apart in your life and you have no reason why and nobody's ever going to tell you. And he says this, if you don't want anybody to know about what you're saying, he says, don't say it. Because if you do say it, somebody will be listening. Folks, maybe it's just me. And Kevin back there, you know, he's always on the ball. But I would say somebody is kind of taking this new world Big Brother surveillance kind of serious. How about you? In fact, if you start adding the pieces together and you do the math yourself, I say it really looks like they are that close to pulling off what? A one world government the Bible said would happen when you were in the last days. And people, please, I beg you, hear my heart. You need to get right with God now before it's too late. And whatever you do, don't be like one of those people who say something like this. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to become a Christian right now. Okay, because, you know, after all, you Christians are really creepy. Look at Pastor Billy. He's whack. And this deacon's so chicken at him. I'm sitting away from you guys. I'm not going to be... No, sir. Okay, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm smart because I got to deal with the information, too. I'll tell you what. If I see you Christians disappear in this rapture thing, okay, hey, I'll know it's true at that point, and that's when I'll get saved. Okay? Are you kidding me? People, read your Bible. Don't you realize if you wait until the tribulation to get saved, it will cost you your head. Literally. I didn't say that. God did. Here's the warning, folks. You're going to wait that long, you're going to get your head chopped off. Revelation 20 verse 4 says this, and I saw the souls of those who've been what? Beheaded. But, hey, are there beheadings increasing around the world today? Interesting. I saw those who've been beheaded. Why? Because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark or their foreheads on their hands. People, I beg you, please stop kidding yourself. If you will not get saved now, when it's still relatively easy to be a Christian, you mean to tell me you will when your head is literally on the chopping block? Stop lying to yourself. Wouldn't it make much more sense to get saved now and avoid the wrath to come? I beg you, please, don't give in to Satan's lie, because that's what it is. The mankind is going to somehow create his own utopia, his own paradise through a one world government. Are you kidding me? It is a lie. He's tricking you. Why? Because he knows if you wait too long, even 1 second too long, it's going to be too late. And you're not headed for paradise on earth. You're headed for this kind of reality. Let's take a look.
Well, hi, this is Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and hope you enjoyed today's sermon. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Well, before you answer that, let me share one final thing with you. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. The Bible says that all of us, including myself, have fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of our sin is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. And since we have a problem, we don't want to admit this. God, out of love, sent us something called the Ten Commandments, His law, to show us that there's no way in the world that we could ever make it to heaven on our own. Let's take a look at a couple of them. The Bible says that you shall not lie, ever, not once in your life. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Well, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just proved my point. That would make you and I a liar before God. The Bible says you shall not steal. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we've taken something, even once, in our lives without permission. That makes us a thief. The Bible says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And now the Lord's name has become a cuss word. We've broken that. The Bible says that makes us a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. If you think you're going to get to heaven on your own, you shall never do that. But hey, you might think, well, that's a piece of cake. I've never done that one. Really? Jesus said, if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you've committed adultery in your heart. One more. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might say, hey, no problem that one. I've never done that. Really? Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart, it's the same as murder in His eyes. Folks, that's just 5 out of 10 commandments. How are you doing? You're going to tell me that you're going to stand before God and you really think He's going to let you into heaven and He's going to ask you, hey, who are you? And you say, hey, God, let me in. By your own admission, I'm a lying, thief, blasphemer, adulterer, murderer. Let me in. Folks, God's not going to let you in. We don't deserve to go to heaven, folks. We have broken God's law. We deserve to die and go straight to hell. Here's the good news. God doesn't want you to go to hell. So He's pardoned you for your crimes. He wants to get you off a death row. And just like in real life, a person can get off a death row if they receive the governor's pardon. But just like in real life, a governor could write the pardon, even though the person's guilty of their crime. He could write the pardon and say, you don't have to go to the death penalty. But if they don't receive that pardon from the governor, they will still go to the death penalty. Folks, that's what God has done every day to everyone all over the world. Jesus Christ took the death penalty in our place. And every day that a person's alive, God is reaching out to them, asking them, pleading with them, please receive my pardon for your crimes. Please don't go through with the death penalty. And if you're here today and you want to make sure that you're going to heaven, you need to receive God's pardon for your crimes through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, then maybe you can pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I've broken your law. I am a sinner. I agree that you are holy and that I am not. And I'll never make it to heaven on my own. Please forgive me, Jesus, of all my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross and rose again from the grave to pay the price for all my sins. I turn from my sins today, and I turn to you. I trust in you, Jesus, and in you alone, to take me to heaven. Make me into the person you want me to be. I surrender this life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, if you really prayed that prayer, and you meant it from your heart, I want to be the first one to congratulate you. Welcome to God's forever family. But that's just the beginning. When a person first gets saved, which is just what happened to you, the Bible likens you as a baby. And a baby needs food, they need nutrients, they need somebody to care. And that's why something important you need to do now is to find a good, healthy church in your area who can help provide that nourishment for you. Unfortunately, not all churches are very good churches, so if you have some questions, then please contact us and we'd be glad to help you out. You need to get a Bible. You need to read the Word of God. And that's where you're going to find out about God and His wonderful plan and the reason and what He has planned and saved you for. You need to find it out in there as well. You need to pray to God. He's with you now wherever you go as His child. And prayer is not something mystical or magical. It's just simply having a conversation with God wherever you go. And finally, you need to tell somebody else about your new relationship with God and how that they can know for sure today how they can go to heaven instead of hell through God's pardon through Jesus Christ. Well, this has been Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If there's anything we can do to help you, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information, our contact information will be coming up on the screen here shortly, and we'd love to hear from you. Remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.
Thank you for watching this presentation from Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If you'd like to send us a letter or any other kind of postage, you can reach us at 5287 Bronson Drive, Lewiston, New York, 14092, or you can give us a call at 716-297-8783, or for email, office@niagarafrontierbible.com, or you can visit our website at www.niagarafrontierbible.com.